Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
There was a man who lived as a drunkard. True story. On Chicago's Skid Row many, many, many years ago. Then one night he came to a mission there in Chicago. He heard the message, he ate the meal, and he went to bed. That was his last night on earth. He died poverty-stricken, friendless, never to see another day on this earth. True story. What he did not know was that he had an inheritance in England which was over $4 million. $4 million. The authorities there tried to find him, but there was no address or anything, and they couldn't track him down. And he died. He had lived and died in poverty. Now, in this sense, he was just like many Christians and many non-Christians who live in spiritual poverty because they are not fully aware of the wealth that is found in Christ Jesus. And so as we've been studying here in Ephesians, we're looking at chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3 is the wealth that is found for you and I in Christ Jesus. Anybody say thank you? Thank you. It's a wealth that we have. And so we spent some time last week looking at just three of them, and we're going to review those. And then we're going to go on to the other five as we go all the way through verse 10. Now, I put together a bunch of notes, and I'm going to kind of turn from those notes. But if you want to go on the webpage this week, you can see some notes and a highlight of things I put. And I just want to go a little bit of a different direction here this morning during this service. So let's start in verse 1. And let's review Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. To the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Then his greeting, as you know, we've talked about it for the last 2 weeks. Grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we see there the unity of God, the first person and the second person of the Trinity, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who is revealed in Scripture as God. Then he said, blessed be the God and Father. Praise be given to the God and Father. Notice where it comes from, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who he has. Now that tells us how involved he is in all that we're going to look at here. Now, you'll see three things as we go through these scriptures, and we spoke about them last week, but just as a reminder, you're going to see over and over and over different phrases that point out the real reality that God is the person involved in what we're talking about. And then you're going to see the purpose of why God is. The second thing that we see we go through here, and the purpose is you and I, the Church of Jesus Christ. When you see the word us and we. And then you're going to see, this morning, we're going to look at eight blessings in verses 1 through 10. Blessings that we have. So God is the one that brings all of this into our life, and it is through the work of the cross by Jesus Christ that he did for us. But it's for us. So we're to look at this and go, you know, I can't believe it, Lord. Praise be given to you. I cannot believe that this is what you give us. Now, we become so used to it because we're Christians and we're in the Bible. You guys are in the Bible, and I'm thankful for that. And so what we're talking about here is not new to you, but sometimes we're like this guy that lived in poverty. We live our lives in poverty, not truly understanding the wealth that is given to you and I. And walk in that, and talk in that, and be bold in that, and live in that with all humility. Not saying that we are anything special by any means, because we're not. But this is who we have become in Christ Jesus, is the emphasis that we see over and over. You see, our blessings are found in Christ is the theme of the message today. And I praise the Lord for that. Blessed, praise be, verse 3, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, again, let's review, notice the tense, it's a done deal. He has blessed us. Now today, do you feel blessed? Yeah, it's just written all over your faces. I could hear the sound and everybody's going, yeah, yeah, I am blessed. You know, I know there's been an hour change and you guys are all thrown off. I am too, but you know, we need to understand that we are blessed. We truly are. We're blessed above all people on this planet. Now we live different lives. We have different situations. We really do, but we are blessed. We are really blessed. There was a gentleman yesterday that came in. He called me, and I came over here to meet with him. And just a special young man. He's not in this church. He's married. He's in the church, not in this service. You know, and just a blessing. You know, and new and listening to what God has done in his life. But this is what happened to him. He volunteered to help his neighbor cut down a tree, because that's what he was doing for a livelihood. He was cutting down trees, so he decided to do that. And so he climbs up the neighbor on a ladder and all that, and wouldn't you know it, he falls off the ladder, tumbling down, cracks ribs in, I think it was 6 or 7 different places. So he can't work. It's a little hard to do that. So he's in that situation. And then shortly thereafter, he was driving his wife's, the family van, and somebody just plows into him in the rear of the van, just totals the van. Then shortly after that, he's driving his pickup truck and he goes a little off the road and bless you. And so his tire, you know, and before he knows it, he's heading straight to a tree. He hits a pole and his truck goes sideways and the truck gets, the guide wire runs into that. And then the tool chest that's in the back of the truck comes back through the back window, hits him in the head. Concussion. Totaled both vehicles. This is all right here, you know, just shortly after coming to our church, okay? So, you know, be careful, those that are visiting today, be careful. So anyway, and so then all of this happens, and he can't work and all this, and he gets in a situation, and he's just real behind in everything. A little hard for him to feel blessed. I didn't want to be insensitive and go, well, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. This is who you are. But yet, you know, we talked about that. We worked through that. And golly, please pray for him. And anybody wants to be involved in helping this family, let me know. We're going to reach out to this family. But we are blessed, even in the midst of trying situations. Is that not true? We truly are blessed. No matter what life we live. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so we know where we're going. We're going to be set free from this world someday, very soon. And so the trials and tribulations that we go through, they are real. There's real suffering on life. And I don't make small of that in any way. But yet, I think it's important for us to realize that we are blessed people. Again, look at verse 3. Blessed, praise be given to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed, and here's the focus, us. Again, with every spiritual blessing. He doesn't just throw out a little bit here and a little bit there. It's every spiritual blessing. It is the spiritual blessing, not necessarily the physical blessing, that though that may be in our lives. Right now, today, more than likely, we're going to be able to eat lunch, are we not? And we know, we hear about this all the time, but I've been in situations where some people will not maybe even have a meal. They're not sure if they'll have a meal. And so we live it like kings and queens here in America, you know. Some live a little better than others, and that's fine. But we have to be wise to give God praise. Praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now here comes our first blessing, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And so as you see on the screen, that's our first blessing. He chose us in him. And we talked about that last week. Don't you feel special? He chose us. It was a decision that he made. Now, we came to the point to receive him. We talked about that and, you know, freedom of choice and the sovereignty of God. We talked about that last week. We're not going to go back into that. But I believe there comes that point that we can make a choice to receive him into our lives. But even before that, he has chosen us. And he continues to choose us. And I think that is special. I love to be chosen, don't you? I love that. I love that that's who I am in God. So we talked about that first blessing again, verse 4. Just as he chose us in him. Notice it's in him. So you see the second us, and then you see again in him, in Christ that we saw in verse 3, before the foundation of the world, that here comes we, here's the focus again, should be, here's the result of what he's doing in our lives, be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, it is an amazing thing that the Bible teaches us that if we are in Christ, old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Isn't that amazing? That's who we are. Now, sometimes we may not feel that. Sometimes we may recognize the battle that goes on in Romans chapter 7. I know that I should do this, but I find that I do this. I know that I shouldn't do that, but I find that that's what I end up doing. We know that battle that is there. But prior to chapter 7, we see chapter 6. And then after chapter 7, we see the power of how to walk in it with the Holy Spirit in chapter 8. We see all these beautiful things that have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And so that's what we're to remember. Yeah, we struggle. Yeah, we have difficult times and all. But we are in the eyes of our Father. Look at verse 4. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. I believe that's how our Father sees us. Now, he is not without understanding and knowledge when we blow it. You know, isn't that he doesn't know that? Doesn't mean that he looks at it lightly. But we can come to him for salvation, and we become his children. And as we walk with him as children, then we as children make mistakes. And we can come. I can remember just growing up with my dad. My dad was a good guy. He was a strict person in different ways, but he was a good guy. And I knew that I could come to him, and he would come to me. And I remember, I'm not going to repeat what it was or anything, but I remember one time I really blew it. I really blew it. And the way that he handled that blew me away. That his love, his grace, he didn't know the Lord, but yet we still see God's principle. I saw that working in my life. And here I am talking about it today. As much as it just happened, I realize that. It's a powerful thing when our God comes to us and he tells us that we are holy and without blame before him in love. Look at verse 5, the second blessing that we see there. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. So we spent a little bit of time going through that last week, but we are adopted. You guys happy about being adopted? We are. We're brought into the family. We're grafted into the family by the work of Jesus Christ into our lives. And the promises for God's people are there for each and every one of us, having predestined, foreordained us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. That tells us we can call him Dad. Daddy, Daddy. Abba, Father. We can do that. Wonderful thing. All right. Now, if that was all there was, would we be happy with those two? We could. But it gets better. Look at there, the next verse that we see. To the glory, verse 6, or excuse me, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Not only did he choose us, not only did he adopt us as sons, but we need to understand that he has accepted us. We are totally accepted in him, in Jesus Christ. That's who we are today, and I am blown away to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now, would three be enough? Would those three be enough for us? I'd say that they would. They really would. But look at verse 7 as we go here now. Just 7, 8, 9, and 10 very quickly this morning, and we see five more blessings that are given to us. The first one starts out, it's in him. It's by him, in him. Now notice there's the we. What is it that we have? we have redemption through his blood. Today we are redeemed. We have been claimed. The price has been paid for each of us. By union with Christ, that's what it means. In him, we have. The tense is very important. It's a done deal. It's a work that has been done. And it can be translated, not just we have, it could be translated to hold onto, to preserve, to possess, to cling to have in your hand. In our hand is this promise. The emphasis here is upon something present. It's accomplished in our lives today. This is who we are, and this is what we have because of who we are in Christ Jesus. Again, verse 7, in him we have redemption. What is redemption? This is our blessing, our next blessing that we see here, the fourth blessing here that we have. We have the redemption indicates the one and only way of salvation. It's the only way. It's actually better, more literally stated, the redemption. It is the redemption. There is no other redemption. There isn't any. Others will tell you that there is, but there is not. There just is not, according to Scripture. Redemption means deliverance from some evil by payment of a price or a ransom. Very important that we would understand that. Jesus' shed blood on that wooden tree was the price that was given so that we could be set free. And notice it's through his blood, at the cost of his blood. Why the blood? Listen to Leviticus chapter 17, verses 11 to 14. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. For it is the life of all flesh. Its blood sustains its life. Therefore I said to the children of Israel, you shall not eat the blood of any flesh, for the life of the flesh is its blood. Whoever eats it shall be cut off. Special thing in the eyes of God. Special thing. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22, it says, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so God set up the way back for mankind right there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, when blood was shed of the animal, that there would be skins to cover Adam and Eve. A physical thing that happened to represent a spiritual principle that was vital. Again, look at this. It says in verse 7, in him we have redemption through his blood, the death of Jesus on the cross. We know that, but praise the Lord for that. Now notice the next blessing that we have, number 5. We see the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. But number 5 blessing that we see there, the forgiveness of sins, the release or deliverance from our sins, the suspension of punishment. You guys excited about that? It's amazing. That's what he has done for each and every one of us. Now, again, I know I'm speaking to the choir this morning. The choir is half asleep because of the hour change, okay? You're working it. Most people are going to be at the third service today because, you know, they just couldn't quite do what you guys did. I'll tell you, the first service was a bear. It was a bear. It really was. But, you know, these time change gets us there. But, you know, today, this is who we are in Christ Jesus. Again, the release or deliverance from our sins, the suspension of punishment. Only the eternal Son of Man's self-denial in death could provide forgiveness for the sons of men. God demanded this offering of himself. He provided it in his Son. Listen to some scriptures that emphasize and reemphasize this truth, the forgiveness of sins. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And then in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. So he did this work for us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, in this is love, not that we loved him, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Are we blessed? He's become the ransom for our sins. I hope we never get over that. In him we have redemption through his blood. There, the fourth blessing. Again, verse 7, the fifth blessing, the forgiveness of sins. And then the sixth blessing that we have today, as we're studying Scripture, according to the riches of his grace. The rich is a word that points to abundance, abundant wealth, gracious favor that we have, according to the riches of his grace, caused Christ to redeem us by the payment of a price, the giving of himself as a sacrifice for our sins. Anybody say praise the Lord? So special. Then he amplifies it a little bit in verse 8. Look, he says, which, again, the emphasis he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Some people say, hey, Bill, here's another blessing. I look at it as amplifying the one prior to this. But again, look at these verses, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Listen to the amplified version of this verse. Which he, God, lavished upon us in every kind of wisdom and understanding, which is practical insight and prudence. He's done it for you and I. Any praise the Lord? I'm having to dig out the praise of the Lord's this morning. You know, that's what he's done for each and every one of us. He made, notice it is the work that he has done because we couldn't. He's done it all for us. So I look at that and I say, thank you, Jesus. Then we go on to verse 9. He says, having made known to us, what has he made known to us? The mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. This is a wonderful verse. I mean, it truly, truly is. Notice how personally involved God is in this. It is by his will, it is by his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. If he purposes in himself, that means it's a done deal. It's all taken care of. And so we can enter into an understanding of his will and his purpose in our lives. The term mystery here refers to something kept hidden until a certain time. It's not like a mystery that, you know, that remains hidden. No, this one, or it's that you have to kind of dig out to reveal. It's just something that's revealing to us. As God goes through time, he reveals his will to us and the mysteries that are there for each and every one of us. If you can, Bailey, right here, Bailey, you back there? Let's just put up the mysteries here just for a moment. You see those there? Because I've varied from the notes I was going to do. There's all kinds of mysteries that are found in Scripture. The first one that you'll see here is the mystery of the prosperity of the wicked. Has anybody ever scratched their head about that? Only a few. David did over and over. Lord, why do the wicked prosper? Because this world has a way of rewarding people in certain ways. You know, if we look at the powers that be on this earth, most of the powers that be, unfortunately, don't seem to be following after Jesus Christ. They seem to be following after another thing. That's a mystery, Lord. How can that be? But as we trust him and we look at Scripture, then he shows us the end result. Not that we're happy about that. We want everybody to come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But we see that that mystery is explained as we look into Scripture there. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Yet let me talk with you about your judgments, Jeremiah said. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? But it's short-lived, and that's what we find in Scripture. There's the mystery of the new birth. Today, you know, we know Nicodemus scratched his head. How can I go back into my mother's womb? There was a mystery there. We know that it's a spiritual rebirth, that mystery. There's the mystery of providence. Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. There's a mystery, but he reveals those things to us as we draw close to him. There's a mystery of the future life. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. That's a mystery right now, isn't it? But it's coming. I believe it's coming. Today at 2:12. 2:12 it's going to come. There's a mystery of the union of Christ with the church. There's a mystery of the incarnation. That's definitely a mystery. You know, it truly is. Trying to explain to a Muslim when we were on the plane about a month ago or a little less, that the mystery of the incarnate God came into this world, allowed himself to be born through a virgin, walked on this earth, never sinned. He became man, yet God. He died on the cross. How can God die? Rose from the dead to the living, ascended into heaven, coming back real soon. It's a mystery, isn't it? But it's revealed to us as we dive in Scripture by the Holy Spirit, simply realizing what God has done, and he can do anything that he wants. The mystery of the incarnation, the mystery of suffering, as I mentioned earlier. It's a mystery why some suffer more than others, but I think their blessings are great in heaven. Verse 9 again, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. And look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times. Dispensation is just a period of time that God works with mankind. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he, again, notice the who is involved in this, might gather together in one. This is his purpose. His ultimate purpose is to gather all of his people together in one. All things, notice where it is, in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, and it is in him. He's got a plan. He's bringing us all together. What a blessing. We're going to be up there giving high fives, high tens. We're going to be shouting. We're going to be worshiping the Lord. We're going to be like little goofballs walking around. Did you see this? Did you see that? Did you see that? Don't you think that's going to be the way it's going to be? You know? Pardon me? I didn't hear what he said, but ignore him. Great, yeah. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to be there with him forever and ever. He might bring together in one all things in Christ. It means to unify or subject all things together under the headship of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 says this, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." The key, obviously, is unity here. It's a blessing that we have on this earth and we will have with him forever and ever and ever. Praise the Lord. Pretty simple message today. But listen, as we review, and then we're going to turn to Romans chapter 3, please. That's where we're going to close. Romans chapter 3. Listen to the five blessings again, and then we're going to just read a passage here. The blessings we've had. In him, we have redemption. That's going to be emphasized here in this passage. In him, we have the forgiveness of sins. It's going to be emphasized in this passage. In him, we have the riches of his grace. It's going to be emphasized in this passage. God has made known to us the mystery of his will. We're going to see his will revealed in this passage. And he might gather together one in all things in Christ Jesus. We see it here. Beginning in verse 9, chapter 3. Let's go there, and we will close with this morning. What then, Paul says, are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. This is who we were prior to knowing Christ. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have all together become unprofitable. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. This is who we are outside of Christ Jesus, or who we were outside of him. Whose mouth is full of the cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. Can't happen by the law. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, look at verse 21. Here's the other side. You guys that have read this before, it's just a beautiful passage. We see who we were outside of Christ, but now we see who we are in Christ Jesus. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's how it comes, through faith in Jesus Christ. To all and on all who do what? What's it say? Believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But notice verse 24. Being justified, being declared righteous freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. He became the ransom on our behalf by his shed blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he, God, might be just and the justifier of the one who has what? Faith in Jesus Christ. Anybody say, praise the Lord? Are we a blessed people? We are extremely blessed. And that's only 8 of over 40. You want to just go on from here this morning? Sure, yeah. Read ahead. Pick them out yourself. Do your homework. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the simplicity of your scripture. Just simply going word by word, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, going through your word and let your word by your Holy Spirit speak to us and encourage us. We pray, Lord, that we would be thankful for these 8 blessings. And Lord, I pray that you would cause us to understand them and dive into the reality of what has been given to us through Christ Jesus. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We love you, we praise you, and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through.